KBOW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The Kremlin says Russia's foreign minister will take part in the talks with U.S. diplomats Tuesday in Saudi Arabia with a focus on restoring ties between the two countries, and they'll discuss Ukraine. When he was asked about the war on Sunday, President Trump said after speaking with Vladimir Putin,
I think he wants to stop fighting. I see that.
But Ukraine will not be included in these talks, as Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency continues plans to cut the size of the federal workforce. Two sources familiar with the matter tell ABC that DOGE has requested access to an IRS data system that retains personal tax information of millions of Americans. Those sources say as of the weekend, access had not been granted. More than 300,000 power outages from Massachusetts to Alabama because of powerful storms that are blamed for at least 10 deaths. And the Vatican says Pope Francis had another peaceful night, and treatment continues in a Rome hospital, the 88-year-old being treated for bronchitis. This is ABC News. The USDA reports that average wholesale egg prices increased by 40 cents to $7.74 a dozen. Stores including Costco, Trader Joe's, Whole Foods, and Kroger have been limiting how many cartons customers can buy. And the USDA says prices are not likely to fall as farmers struggled with bird flu outbreaks in their flocks. Police in New York State made arrests in the murder of a transgender man whose remains were found 15 miles from the hotel where he appeared to be staying with some of his suspected killers.
Police say Sam Nordquist arrived in the Finger Lakes region of New York State in September, staying at a motel with 38-year-old Precious Arzuaga and others. Investigators finding evidence suggesting Nordquist was tortured and sexually assaulted for months. Police arresting and charging Arzuaga, as well as 30-year-old Jennifer Quijano, 33-year-old Kyle Sage, 30-year-old Patrick Goodwin, and 19-year-old Emily Mataika with second-degree murder.
It's ABC's Ike Ajachi. I'm Brian Clark, ABC.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot.
Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was when they moved the camera. Whenever it's like the red alert, the,
right?
Yeah, that was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like
right, yeah, lean left, great. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. We'll take a look back at the weekend's headlines and give a preview to the spring primary election on Tuesday. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Mostly sunny but frigid today with a high near 4 above. Wind chill values between negative 15 and negative 25. For tonight, wind chill values again in the teens and 20s below zero. Actual low temperature of 10 below. Right now, 2 below.
Hey, it's Amanda with another new WISCO 411. And the diverse and resilient Appleton Room to Be Safe is hosting a monthly drop-in night for LGBTQ plus adults, which will have social connection, fun, and resource sharing, and best of all, support. These meetings are available once a month from now through April. They are completely free and unstructured, so you can come when you want and leave when you want. If you're interested, go to wgbw.fm and click events to learn more.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Monday's show, Kristen Ambos with Point Mortgage and Paul Vanden Plus with Wonderfully Wisconsin.
Plus, local author Stacy Ryan joins us again. Her book series is finally out.
Join us.
A cold Monday on the way to celebrate Washington's birthday. It's President's Day. Come on in, everybody. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke right here to try to keep you warm and occupied for the next hour or so, talking about everything related to food and fiber production here in the state of Wisconsin. Hey, it's National FFA Week. I know that a lot of our blue and gold chapters all across the state have special plans. If you'd like to share that with us, we'll be happy to spread the word. Talk text line is up and working despite the temperatures. 877-301-FARM, 877-301-3276. You can chime in on the weather as well. I'm sure you've had your challenges over the past few days. More challenges on the way weather-wise this week, but it's more in the form of temperatures. Today it's going to be sunny, but it's going to be cold. High temperatures today no better than 5 above, and then factor in winds out of the northwest, 10 to 15 miles an hour. That's going to take our wind chills below 20 below. Clear tonight, down to minus 12. You don't even want to know what the wind chills are going to be. Tomorrow's sunny and cold, highs near 8, with winds out of the northwest 5 to 10 miles an hour. Wednesday, cloudier and cold, still highs near 10. Stu Mockraig, meteorologist, has the weather details on the way. And just around the corner, Jill Welke helping us celebrate National FFA Week with a Wisconsin FFA member that's on the national team. That story next.
When it's time to choose a residual herbicide for your soybeans, you need broad-spectrum weed control that lasts. Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides by BASF give your crop up to 2 more weeks of residual weed control, providing 50% more control than other Group 15 residuals. The long-lasting herbicide portfolio protects your soybeans from even the toughest weeds while providing a steady growing environment for the entire season. Talk to your retailer today about adding Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides to your 2025 plan. Always read and follow label directions.
Policies and regulations are shifting in D.C. What does that mean for your farm? Find out during Compeer Financial's free webinar on February 19th at 1 p.m. Break down key policy updates and get actionable guidance with perspectives on legislative, economics, and trade. Plus, submit your own questions for a live Q&A session moderated by Compeer's ag economist, Megan Roberts. Register at compeer.com/webinar for the February 19th virtual event to navigate ag policy changes with confidence.
Well, just a few months ago, there was an excited young lady that was announced, got to run up on that national stage in Indianapolis. And I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire. And I'm lucky enough to catch up with the Central Region National FFA Vice President from Wisconsin, Mary Schreiber. And it's been a bit of a whirlwind for you, I bet. Let's get a little rundown of those first couple months.
So right after I was announced as the National FFA Central Region Vice President, the training pretty much began. And we were whisked off pretty quickly to Central Indiana, to the Indiana FFA Center, where we started our first round of training. And then after that, we got some instructions to head home and wrap up pretty much our whole lives in November. So finished up my semester of school early, packed up all my things, and moved to Indianapolis to be pretty close to the National FFA Center. And there we got some more training about workshop facilitation and team dynamics and keynote development and learning more about my five teammates who I've come to love so much. And since then, we also traveled down to Georgia, where we learned more about keynote development down there at AgCo. And we also finished out the rest of January in Mississippi, interacting with some FFA members there. And that was a really wonderful experience, the first time we were able to interact with members in a real way as national officers, which is pretty incredible.
Now, you talk a lot about this training. Who puts this on? I mean, is this from a national level? Do you learn from states? Where does it all come from?
So National FFA is staffed by some really wonderful people, experts in their field when it comes to speech development and delivery and making sure that we're working with students in an inclusive way that ensures that they feel that sense of belonging within the National FFA organization. So some inside staff with the National FFA, we have coaches dedicated to work with us, and we also pull in some outside experts too. So we're surrounded by a really high-class community of experts in their field.
And did they tell you that you're doing a lot of the things right, or they have a lot of advice? I mean, yes, they can guide you, but when you do a speech, you put a lot of yourself into it. I mean, is that one of those key things they talk about as well?
Yeah, so much of this job is really about sharing who you are with members, because what makes this organization so wonderful are the individual stories of the members from all across the country. And the six of us on this team are just six examples of what FFA can do for students. And for so much of that workshop development and the delivery of our speeches, we're talking about our own experiences, and hopefully the members that we share those experiences with can learn from it and take more steps to improve their FFA and agricultural education journeys.
You got to go on an adventure right around that birthday time for you, right?
Yeah, in late January, we kicked off our international experience in Japan. We were there for 10 days, immersing ourselves in the food and the language and the culture, learning more about Japanese agriculture, which is really different from the United States. And I had never traveled abroad before, so that was a really unique experience, really invaluable to me. And we also had the opportunity to interact with some Future Farmers of Japan members who were so enthusiastic and excited that we were there to share a little bit more about what FFA is about here in the United States and learn a little bit more about what their lives as students in Japan and as Future Farmers of Japan students looks like.
Well, I'm going to have you dive a little deeper into that. And a lot of times we assume that FFA is a certain way here in the United States, and it varies from coast to coast, county to county, state to state, country to country. I mean, they don't really grow a lot of the same crops we do even, do they?
Yeah, so for some historical context, FFJ was started after the Second World War, and General MacArthur went to Japan and recommended that he start the Future Farmers of Japan. So agriculture education really was birthed out of this rebuilding stage that Japan was experiencing, because we know that agriculture is the building blocks for life. And he knew that if we were able to institute a way for students to learn about agriculture and promote them as leaders, they'd be able to grow and learn in a really unique way. And because it was started for different reasons out there in Japan, it looks a little bit different than FFA does, and it serves a different purpose. It occurs more on a local level, I would say, than more less of a national organization with a large focus. And that's because high schools in Japan also look a little different. High schools in Japan are dedicated to an agricultural emphasis and focus. So the programs there are really incredible. So many greenhouses and school farms and really robust food science programs. And because they have such a vocational focus, the students there have a lot of really technical knowledge. So it's interesting to share those experiences and how they differ just a little bit, but we learned a lot from each other within those cultural exchanges, and I'm definitely going to take those memories with me for a long time.
Now, we've just been talking about FFJ in Japan, based in agriculture. The cultural experience in Japan has got to be a little bit different than here in Wisconsin. What did you see? What did you learn? What would you like to really remember?
So Japan as a country looks really different than the U.S. geographically, because it's so mountainous and full of active volcanoes and it's on fault lines. So agriculture there also just looks pretty different. Farms there are a lot smaller. They have a lot of greenhouses. The technology there, of course, is incredibly impressive. And they grow a lot of really unique crops. We visited a 89-year-old radish farmer who had been farming the world's largest radishes for 75 years. And because of the volcano that he lives on, the soil there is incredibly rich, and he just had so much knowledge. That was something really unique to Japan. We also visited a university, chemical companies who are just at the very top of this industry, and the knowledge that they have to share that is going to improve Japanese agriculture, but also agriculture across the whole world.
What about the communication in Japan? I mean, are they willing to share their knowledge? Or is there any barriers there with some of the language too?
There was certainly a language barrier, but we worked pretty hard over the couple weeks that we trained before we left for Japan to learn a couple key phrases and words. We relied on Google Translate a lot. but we know agriculture just transcends language because it's a shared language among anyone who works within this industry, and the hospitality that you experience no matter where you go. If you're interacting with someone in the agriculture industry, there's going to be that shared experience and that shared knowledge, and that was so prevalent all across Japan, and we really appreciated their willingness to share their operations with us and the knowledge they've gained from their research. It was just a reminder of how much of a community that we have here in this industry, and I was very thankful that they really opened up their country to us.
The ag community is like none other, and now you're back in the States, looking ahead a little bit. What are some of those adventures looking like for you right now?
So pretty quick, I'll head back to Indianapolis and to get a little bit more training before we kick off National FFA Week, which is one of the biggest weeks of the year for FFA members all across the country. And I'll personally be traveling to South Carolina, visiting with students there, learning more about what agriculture there looks like, and also advocating for the industry at their state house. I'll also be working with the South Carolina School for the Deaf and Blind, ensuring that they have opportunities within the agriculture industry as well. So I'm very excited for that new opportunity, and it will be kicking off the rest of our travel season that we'll all be experiencing this year. So it should be super exciting. Make sure to visit National FFA websites, Wisconsin FFA websites for more information, because National FFA Week is one of the best weeks of the year.
And now getting beyond that National FFA Week, you get to get started on some banqueting times too. What are some of the states that you get to go to?
So I'll be going to about 9 different state conventions all across the country. Some highlights, we have New Hampshire. Of course, I'll be back here in Wisconsin, New York, Nebraska, Texas, Connecticut, New York. It's going to be a really incredible year of traveling all across the country and meeting with students everywhere.
And I'm looking forward to catching up with you, maybe at the Wisconsin State Convention, to find out a little bit more about your take on agriculture across the United States. Because even though we do a lot of growing, a lot of producing, a lot of technology, they tend to look a little different, don't they?
Yeah, all over the country, agriculture looks just a little bit different. But just like I said before, this industry unites us, and I'm so excited to continue building those connections, whether I'm in South Carolina or Texas or Wisconsin, because this industry really is a home for anyone who wants to find their place in it.
And you've definitely found a place in the National FFA as really a spokesperson for the National FFA, and that's our central region. National FFA Vice President Mary Schreiber, originally from East Troy, Wisconsin, made 2 years of service here in Wisconsin as a state FFA officer. And I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
From Ashwaubenon to Alloway, this is 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. While attacks on democracy norms ensue in Washington, state legislatures have also been busy. We have updates from Utah, Kansas, Indiana, and the contested North Carolina Supreme Court race. Voting Rights Lab reports that the Utah House is considering HB 300, which forces mail-in ballot users to deliver their ballot not by mail, but by hand to an official polling place where an ID can be presented. The elderly, disabled, and other voters for whom returning by mail is their only option would need to seek special permission. HB 332 would withdraw Utah from the Cooperative Electronic Registration Data Center, the subject of far-right conspiracy theories. The Kansas Senate passed SB 4, which requires receipt of mail-in ballots by 7 p.m. Election Day to count, rather than the current 3 days after. An Indiana Senate committee advanced SB 284, shortening early in-person voting from 28 days to 14 days, ending at noon the day before Election Day. The full Senate passed SB 10, ending use of school-issued student identification as ID for voting. In North Carolina, a district court judge dismissed a claim by a state Supreme Court candidate that in a race he lost by 734 votes, as many as 65,000 voters were ineligible. A federal appeals court may revisit it. We've linked the Voting Rights Lab tracker at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Inflation has to go down. How would you suggest your president address that? He's not talking about the cost for Americans. Hell, everything he's doing seems to going to increase the cost for Americans, starting with trade wars with Canada and Mexico. So if there is something positive out of this administration, let me know what it is. I would absolutely give credit where credit is due if I see it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, are you exhausted, tired, fed up? We get it, but we want you to get involved. Luann Bird is going to join us to talk about ways to keep going. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
In Rockford, Illinois on Friday and into Saturday, not nearly as much snow in that neck of the woods as what folks in northeast Wisconsin dealt with. Give me a little rundown on what you see as far as snow tallies.
Well, I had some numbers that were a little all over the place.
Yeah, but, I bet.
When you really get down to it, I'm trying to click back on this chart I had, and there it is. And it was showing me that you talk about Madison with about 4 inches, Milwaukee close to 4.5. And then when you start heading a bit further north, just up into Ozaukee County, West Bend, 7.8 inches,
ooh,
6 inches at Fond du Lac. Berlin over in Green Lake County, 7.5 inches. Montello heading right up 22 in central Wisconsin, 7.1 inches. And you start looking further north. Green Bay had that, you know, 5-6 inches total. It was pretty snowy all over the state, even the far northwest. Where did I see Eau Claire registering about 3.5? So nobody was out of the loop.
Boy, it took until yesterday to really get it all kind of picked up, moved out of the way. And now today, if you didn't move it, it's going to be froze solid.
It's going to be a solid chunk. Yeah, we've got a cold weather advisory in effect until 11 in eastern Wisconsin, further ahead to the west and northwest till about 10 this morning. Nonetheless, a very, very chilly start. The cold weather advisory, meaning wind chill values, dropping this morning somewhere down in the 25, 30, even 35 below range. Very, very chilly indeed. We expect to see much the same, another very cold start tomorrow. But tomorrow, just west of the Mississippi in western Wisconsin, until you get up to about Black River Falls and look north all the way up through Eau Claire, all the way up to the northwest corner of the state, there's going to be an extreme cold warning in effect. That kicks in 9 p.m. tonight until about 10 tomorrow morning. That's where wind chill values of 40 or maybe even 45 below become possible. A very strong, cold, high-pressure system just to our northwest will sag a little further south into the northern U.S. here as we head through midweek, assuring us of this very cold and dry weather, no snow, maybe a flurry in the north at best. Otherwise, very cold weather. We do turn it around, though, as we head toward the end of the week. And I'll have forecast details right after this.
All business owners want the same thing, to make their business succeed. At Rural Mutual, they help that happen. As the third largest writer of commercial business in Wisconsin, they take the time to learn your business so they can properly protect you. Call your local agent today or visit ruralmutual.com.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
When it's time to choose a residual herbicide for your soybeans, you need broad-spectrum weed control that lasts. Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides by BASF give your crop up to 2 more weeks of residual weed control, providing 50% more control than other Group 15 residuals. The long-lasting herbicide portfolio protects your soybeans from even the toughest weeds while providing a steady growing environment for the entire season. Talk to your retailer today about adding Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides to your 2025 plan. Always read and follow label directions.
All righty, buddy. I've already got the heavy clothes pulled out for this week. Give us an idea on what we're going to deal with temperature-wise.
Well, be ready, because we do indeed have to talk about very cold air, the cold weather advisory this morning, and in the Northwest, the extreme cold warning tomorrow. Our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update says it's cold, mostly sunny, cold today. We may be just above zero in southern Wisconsin, maybe three or even four above. We stay below zero at best, around two or four below in the far Northwest, and those west winds will be 5 to 15, making it very chilly indeed. Clear and even colder overnight in the teens below zero, very low teens in the upper teens further ahead to the Northwest. The Northwest winds 5 to 10, not too strong, thankfully. Sunny, cold, dry tomorrow. Again, maybe 5 or 6 degrees in the south, maybe 0 in the north, with the northwest winds at 5 to 10. More clouds Wednesday, Pam. That starts to push those temps a bit. Maybe a double digit in the south, maybe above 0 north, and then finally starting to climb up toward Thursday and Friday. But I have no snow in that forecast right into next week either.
Well, we'll see if you change your mind by tomorrow morning. All right, my man. Stay warm. We'll talk to you later.
All right. We'll see you.
Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, with your Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Compeer Financial, your financial partner, committed to agriculture and rural Wisconsin. Check it out at Compeer.com. More on Compeer up.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Mino and the Mayor.
You know, you're sore when you start working out after you haven't been working. Okay, so yep. No big deal.
Did you stretch before you worked out?
Yeah, big time.
You did not. Yeah, see, that's okay. You stretch before and after. And really, your stretch before and after should equal the time you work out.
Okay, hey, Dad.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning, 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 and 96.5 WISS. And the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The Kremlin says Russia's foreign minister will take part in the talks with U.S. diplomats Tuesday in Saudi Arabia with a focus on restoring ties between the two countries, and they'll discuss Ukraine. When he was asked about the war on Sunday, President Trump said after speaking with Vladimir Putin,
I think he wants to stop fighting. I see that.
But Ukraine will not be included in these talks, as Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency continues plans to cut the size of the federal workforce. Two sources familiar with the matter tell ABC that DOGE has requested access to an IRS data system that retains personal tax information of millions of Americans. Those sources say as of the weekend, access had not been granted. More than 300,000 power outages from Massachusetts to Alabama because of powerful storms that are blamed for at least 10 deaths. And the Vatican says Pope Francis had another peaceful night, and treatment continues in a Rome hospital, the 88-year-old being treated for bronchitis. This is ABC News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Welcome to the era of the mini-reality show. Reese Witherspoon, producer behind the new Legally Blonde prequel, Elle, filmed herself calling the actress who won the role of young Elle Woods. The series will be set during Woods' high school years, way before she became a lawyer. Witherspoon posted the vid to her TikTok, which also included recording the actress giving her mother the news. Here's hoping the actual series that will drop on Prime eventually will be just as entertaining. Oh yeah, the actress playing Elle will be newcomer Lexi Mindtree. Immensely popular stand-up comedian Nate Bargatze has not one, but two films in the works. Nate will star in the holiday film Christmas in Paradise after he completes playing the lead in The Breadwinner, a comedy he will also produce. Christmas in Paradise has Bargatze playing a small-town doctor who ends up getting a bounty on his head a week before Christmas. The project is still in the development stages and will be directed by TAG director Jeff Tomczyk. It will be interesting to see if Bargatze's films are as funny as his act. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Brewers' Yelich says he's ready. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Brewers outfielder Christian Yelich says he expects to be ready to play on opening day. Yelich at spring training telling JS Online about his decision to have season-ending surgery after dealing with back pains the last couple of years.
Certainly the pre-op was pretty uncomfortable. Once it kind of got to the point where I think it was like right before the All-Star break, that's kind of when it started getting pretty bad. And then tried to keep going post-All-Star break and, you know, those last few years just trying to manage it on a day-to-day. So hopefully that's a little bit better and a little easier and don't really have to deal with those multi-week absences or anything like that anymore. But yeah, it's kind of nice to be on the other side of it and hopefully all less problems going forward.
College basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers at home tomorrow night against Illinois, 7:30 at the Kohl Center. The Badgers coming off that huge win over Purdue on Saturday, 94-84. John Tonjay leading with 32 points. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller and Northeast Wisconsin hip-hop artist and musician Matt Harper joins me in studio. We're going to light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Mostly sunny but frigid today with a high near 4 above. Wind chill values between negative 15 and negative 25. For tonight, wind chill values again in the teens and 20s below zero. Actual low temperature of 10 below. Right now, 2 below.
What's your go-to when the cold winds of winter blow? A heavy coat? A hat? For many of us, it's lip stuff, too. But did you know one of the most popular brands, Carmex, the one in the little yellow tube or tub, is a Wisconsin product? It's made in Franklin, a suburb of Milwaukee, and it's shipped to more than 60 countries every year. So can you guess the original use for Carmex? Fixing squeaky doors, actual lip balm, or to soften baseball gloves? The answer coming up. Alfred Woolwing created Carmex in the kitchen of his Dodge County home in Rubicon in 1937. He hand-poured thousands of jars until deciding to automate the manufacturing process in the 70s. Now, can you guess the original use for Carmex when it was created? More than 80 years ago. It's always been meant to be a lip balm, but people use it on other dry or itchy skin areas too. It remains a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested.
Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
From De Pere to Suamico, 97.9 WGBW.
Right now there's no juice left in that arm.
You know how it is in Wisconsin. The weather can't slow you down too much. Wisconsin farmers still out there taking care of livestock, making sure things get done. Same with me. Friday, I was in Rockford, Illinois, part of the Compeer Financial Groundbreaker 2025 conference. And a Wisconsin dairy farmer from Fond du Lac County was selected as the Groundbreaker 2025. I'm going to introduce you to Evan and Taylor Schroth from Clovenview Farms in Fond du Lac County. Pretty cool story about how dedicated he is to being a farmer since he was about 2 years old. He's going to share that story on the way. So today is the 17th day of February. What can I tell you? Let's see. On this day, 1992, serial killer Jeffrey Dahmer jailed for life. He was convicted of murdering and dismembering at least 17 young men and boys. He got convicted on this day back in 1992. On this day, 2002, Wisconsin skater Chris Whitty won a gold medal in speed skating, 1,000-meter competition at the Salt Lake City Olympic Winter Games. She's a West Allis native. What's really amazing is she broke the world record even though she was recovering from mononucleosis. She had previously competed in ice skating. She was also a professional bicyclist. Shattered the world speed skating record on this day in Salt Lake City, 2002. Got some happy birthdays for you. Happy birthday to American heiress, TV personality. Got little purses and little dogs. Paris Hilton, she turns 43 today. And Sir Michael Jordan, he is turning 62. And now you know. Well, the cold weather doesn't stop the Midwest Farm Report crew. You can keep an eye out today down at the state capitol. Stephanie Hoff and Ben Jarbo are going to be part of the FFA Day at the Capitol event, where FFA chapters from across the state will make the trip down to share their message with elected officials. Charity Seebecker joins us on a chilly Monday with messages from the dairy farmers of Wisconsin and how individual farmers are taking it on as their responsibility to help educate the general public in a fun way. Charity?
The dairy industry is filled with exciting career opportunities, cutting-edge technology, and hands-on learning experiences. And to inspire the next generation, Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin is bringing interactive educational programs into classrooms, helping students discover the many roles that keep dairy farms thriving. I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report. And Virgil Haig, member of the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin Board of Directors, is joining us for this month's Check-In with Dairy Checkoff to share how they're helping students explore these careers through interactive programs that bring the world of dairy into the classroom.
We just came out with this. It's a new game that we just came out with. It's called Discover Dairy Careers, and it covers the veterinarians, the herd nutrition, human nutrition, farmers, farm managers, and equipment technology. We provide the teachers with a 45-minute lesson to able to teach the kids what dairy careers is all about in their classroom.
Yeah, that's huge. I mean, as we know, farmers, you're wearing many hats. So that those six things you mentioned, those could all be one person wearing all of those hats, or it could be many different people who are overlapping. And when it comes to that equipment technology, I feel like you've got a perfect firsthand experience with that because you use robots, right?
Right, yes. Oh, it's unbelievable. I mean, technology with robots is just, you can't believe how all the information you can get off of a cow. The cow wears a collar, and it's a transmitter, and it transmits everything that the cow is doing. It's showing the cow's heat. It will show the cow's cell count, how much milk each quarter is producing. It's just unbelievable the amount of technology that their robots do for you.
Maybe some of these teachers want to have you come in and be, you know, Farmer Virgil for the day to help educate them a little bit more, take them through the escape room. But what else does Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin have to support teachers?
Well, the other thing is Adopt a Cow. We have 55,000 students involved this year, and that's 14,000 more than a year ago. And what that is the teachers get a monthly update of their farm host about the adopted cow and share it with their students. Monthly updates include like calf weight, height, cow care, but you have to sign up for Adopt a Cow is always May to September, and the next door will be open definitely in October of this year. But we have three farm hosts this year that spread throughout the state. Each host has 2 to 3 calves in the program.
So I'm not actually getting a cow in my classroom, right? As much as I think that would be very fun.
you get a video of the calf that's being taken care of from day one all the way up. You know, you see it every month how that calf is advancing.
And how can listeners learn more about Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and all of these really exciting educational opportunities that you were just talking about?
The best way to go to learn more about Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin is go to www.wisconsindairy.org, and that's the website that you can go on, and you can learn most everything that you need to know about what Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin is doing and how we're distributing the milk and cheese and how much import export we're doing and all that.
That's Virgil Hegg, a member of the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin Board of Directors, joining us for this month's Check-In with Dairy Checkoff. These educational programs show that from cutting-edge technology to hands-on learning experiences, the dairy industry offers endless opportunities for students and educators alike. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
When it comes to fungal diseases like soybean white mold and STS, you know how devastating yield loss can be. That's why you work with your seed dealer to find the best genetics for your farm. Did you know you can bring forward the defensive traits of those genetics with a seed treatment? Heads up, a biological plant activator primes your seed to turn on its natural defense against disease. Take your yields to the finish line. Ask your seed dealer for a heads up seed treatment.
Policies and regulations are shifting in D.C. What does that mean for your farm? Find out during Compeer Financial's free webinar on February 19th at 1 p.m. Break down key policy updates and get actionable guidance with perspectives on legislative, economics, and trade. Plus, submit your own questions for a live Q&A session moderated by Compeer's ag economist, Megan Roberts. Register at compeer.com/webinar for the February 19th virtual event to navigate ag policy changes with confidence.
All righty, no trade activity today on President's Day. Friday in Chicago, we saw the March corn gain 3 cents to 4.96 and a quarter. December new crop was up only a quarter of a cent at 4.73. March soybeans finished the week up 6 at 10.36, with November new crop up 6 3/4, closed to 10.52. Now, the wheat market was interesting. Some of the concerns about the weather in the Plain States really driving wheat prices. March wheat was up 22 and a quarter at $6 even. The July new crop wheat up 22 and a quarter, 6.25 and a quarter. The March Class 3 milk that goes into cheese dropped 9 cents on Friday to 1970. The April Class 3 milk, that dropped 14 to 1922 a hundredweight. You know, our Wisconsin dairy operators are very savvy. They recognize that they're in a global marketplace, and with the tariff talks that have been going on, more and more farmers are making sure they're looking at new opportunities for their dairy products, like Hill Valley Dairy. Hill Valley Dairy is a family-run cheese operation from East Troy. Ron Henningfeld is the cheesemaker there, and they have decided that they want to share their cheese with friends and neighbors, and maybe a little bit bigger neighborhood. They have invested in a cheese bar in Milwaukee.
You know, that location in Milwaukee is something we've been connected with for about 13 years. In 2012, Bob Wills, who is the owner and cheesemaker for Cedar Grove Cheese in Plain, Wisconsin, he decided to open up a small creamery in Milwaukee. So it has a production space and a storefront. And when that opened in 2012, I was a brand new cheesemaker. I was brought on to that project to be a manager and cheesemaker. And I did that for the first 3 years working for what was Clock Shadow Creamery.
Pretty cool, huh? Ron Henningfeld is the cheesemaker for Hill Valley Dairy, their family-run operation in East Troy, brand new cheese bar location in the Walker's Point area of Milwaukee. Find details and maybe make a reservation at hillvalleydairy.com. More stories with a Fond du Lac County dairy. That's on the way next for a Monday.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on Air.
Governor Tony Evers is set to share his budget address to the state on Tuesday, February 18th at 7 p.m. You can count on the Civic Media team to have it covered for you here, live.
And when the polls close, you'll also hear your primary election results from the races important to you and your family.
Live coverage of the elections in your area and the budget address Tuesday, February 18th at 7 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and the Civic Media app.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I'm talking about why, if you've got savings, you need a high-yield savings account. High-yield just means high interest, you know, the money the bank pays you for keeping your money with them. You will probably find the highest yield savings accounts at an online bank. Just go on and Google and do some research and figure out who's offering the highest rates right now. Now, lately, it's been between 4 and 5%. That is your savings earning real interest. And okay, figuring out all the details of opening a new bank account can be very annoying, but I bet you can probably get one going in less than an hour. So give yourself 60 minutes and get it done. I've done it. You'll thank yourself when you see your money making money for doing nothing. For more everyday money help, check out my videos at Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Inflation has to go down. How would you suggest your president address that? He's not talking about the cost for Americans. Hell, everything he's doing seems to going to increase the cost for Americans, starting with trade wars with Canada and Mexico. So if there is something positive out of this administration, let me know what it is. I would absolutely give credit where credit is due if I see it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. We'll take a look back at the weekend's headlines and give a preview to the spring primary election on Tuesday. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
From Hobart to Bay Settlement, 97.9 WGBW.
In the end, they select their groundbreaker 2025. And the one they selected this year, a dairy farmer from Fond du Lac County. Let me introduce you to a young man that's been passionate about agriculture, specifically the dairy industry, pretty much since he was born. Evan Schroth of Clovenview Farms, just outside of Fond du Lac proper. His farm doesn't necessarily have a lot of acres because of their neighbors, but boy, I'll tell you, this boy's got a lot of heart and a lot of dedication to the dairy industry and to his family. Come along as I introduce you to Evan Schroth of Clovenview Farms, whose passion for farming started at a very early age.
So I grew up, my dad had cows until I was four, and then when he sold the cows, he went to work for a large dairy, and that was where I spent every minute that I wasn't at school. It was actually my punishment. If I got in trouble, I wasn't allowed to go to the farm, and that was worse than anything. And there's times where if I didn't have a ride, I'd 5-mile bike ride, I'd bike to the farm because it was that important. All I wanted to do was be at the farm. We just were talking about our favorite Christmas memories as a family, and I always told my parents, and they didn't know this, that my favorite Christmas memory was Christmas Eve. There was nobody at the farm. Dad always went to work, and I'd always go Christmas Eve day. I'd spend at the farm with Dad, and it was just him and I. Most of the employees were gone, besides the guys milking. And I said, my mom's like, "That you're crazy." Like, I'm like, "No, that was my favorite Christmas memory as a kid, is Dad and I got to spend the day together at the farm."
Yeah, yeah. Now, from that humble beginning, you knew kind of there was that light in your soul, and you didn't wait. A lot of people wait until a certain stage in their life to kind of then try to pursue it. When did you start mapping an actual game plan to make this happen?
So in middle school, I started raising pigs, and with the intent that every dime I made on those pigs got saved and got put into a fund that hopefully someday could go towards buying cows. I then actually got a couple of cows when I was a kid, and I couldn't be paid for working because with Workman's Comp, they gave me a calf, and I'd use that to build that. I had about 25 head when I graduated high school. At that point, I didn't know if I was going to do this or not when I went to college. So I sold all my animals to my dad's boss, besides my Guernseys, and made the agreement that I'd buy them back if I started milking. And he kind of chuckled, and I sort of chuckled too, like, yeah, that's never going to happen, but here you go. So I sold them with that agreement to buy them for the same price as what I sold them for back, and went to college. At that point, didn't actually know if I was going to do this or not. And then in about February, I remember I came home from school one day, sat my parents down at the kitchen table and said, "I'm going to farm." And they're like, "Oh gosh, we don't want this." You know, their goal was whatever they could do, don't milk your own cows. And I'm like, I'm 18. I got to try it. I don't have a wife. I don't have kids. If I'm going to fail, because everyone told me I was, I kind of believed it in myself that I was going to too. I said, well, at least when I fail, I won't have kids and a wife to take down with me. It's just myself. And at that point, they're like, okay, we'll be supportive. They allowed me to actually live at home rent-free after I graduated because I only milk cows 2 minutes down the road on a rented barn. And that was sort of where it stemmed from. Well, I want to try it. If I don't try it now, I probably never will.
Now, you said college, and then you said 18. So tell me, did you go to college? Where'd you go to college? What'd you go to college for? And then that the year that you decided, I'm still going to try to milk cows.
So I graduated and I went to LTC. With Cheryl Nails was the advisor director at the time. It is an incredible program. It's 9 months. It's really intense. It's, you know, 8 to 4 every day with a 600-hour internship. And you focused on school and nothing else in those 9 months. And actually, when I decided I wanted to farm and I didn't know where to start, Cheryl sat down with me, helped me apply for the FSA loan, because this is 30, 40 pages of paperwork, and I was lost. And if it wasn't for her, I don't know that I'd be farming, because it was really at 18 to sit down with all these papers and try to figure out how I'm going to do this. And she's really worked with me well. she was a blessing at the time to just work through it all. And so yeah, I was 9 months and then I was done. I graduated on a Saturday in May, and Monday morning I signed the loan paperwork to buy the cows. And I started accumulating cows the following Tuesday at an auction, and then a month after graduation on June 19th, I brought the rest of the cows in and was milking completely by June 19th then.
Okay, how many cows? What year is this? Because that gives some of us a little benchmark on what was happening with prices, with weather, etc.
So I started with 40 cows. That was dry and milking, no young stock besides a few calves that I had from my own animals. It was in 2015, and at the time I got in, they told me, this is the lowest the prices are ever going to be. Get in now. You know, it can't get worse. And 6 months after I started milking, it had really tanked, and I'm like, I had no money. I couldn't pay my bills, and I said, well, I've got to sell the cows. So I had a jockey come over. He walked through the barn. He wrote his number down and handed it to me, and I went, oh, shit, that's not even close to what I need to pay my loan off. Now what? And Dad goes, you just need to figure out how to, you know, tighten your bootstraps, and here we go. And so we really sat down, did financial stuff, and, you know, how are we going to make this work? And if we didn't, you know, we pushed through. It was really tough. A lot of phone calls of, hey, I need it. And there was a lot of neighbors that were willing to, you know, my tractor broke. Here's a tractor. Use it. I just want to see the young kid go. And if I didn't have the support of really a community, I wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
It takes more than just one guy.
And that is quite a guy right there. Evan Schroth of Clovenview Farms and his wife Taylor, along with their three young daughters, dedicated to agriculture, dedicated to farming. Now, that's only a snippet of my conversation with Evan. Him and I got into quite a long discussion about where he's headed when it comes to production agriculture. I'll be sharing some of that with you over the course of the next few days, or you can pop on over to our podcast right now and hear the whole conversation. That's available at MidwestFarmReport.com. And congratulations again to Evan and Taylor Schroth from Fond du Lac County, Clovenview Farms, Compeers, Groundbreakers 2025. Tomorrow morning, we'll catch up with our friend John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. Find out what the markets are talking about. Stay warm, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
A Canadian agricultural leader responds to the threat of U.S. tariffs today on Farm to Fork.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
All-terrain vehicles have become standard equipment on farms and ranches. While useful for work, they're also recreational, but they can pose a safety issue for kids in particular. Make sure operators wear helmets and are schooled in safe use. High-speed crashes and rollovers can be avoided. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. President Trump has hit pause on his plan for substantial tariffs on Mexico and Canada after our two neighbors agreed to toughen border security. Tyler McCann, managing director of the Canadian Agri-Food Policy Institute, reflects on the situation.
Breaking trade is a bad thing. And I know that there's been some discussion in the United States that what we've seen and the threat of tariffs wasn't about a trade war. It was about a drug war. I have to say, but we've struggled to understand what that means in the Canadian context, because if you want to fight drugs and deal with legitimate health and safety issues from a drug perspective and a border perspective, tariffs won't fix that. Other actions will fix that.
McCann says trade volume between Canada and the U.S. is substantial, and the tariff issue is causing folks in Canadian agriculture to consider other trading options.
It certainly has an impact on Canada. We've felt this very strongly. It has brought Canadians together around this idea that there's a challenge there. But we also know that it's going to be bad for Americans, too. And we really think that it's in all of our interests to find ways to avert this big challenge and this big breakdown in what has been a very reliable, safe, and meaningful trading relationship at the end of the day.
Tomorrow, an issue on our southern border. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Monday's show, Kristen Ambos with Point Mortgage and Paul Vanden Plus with Wonderfully Wisconsin.
Plus, local author Stacy Ryan joins us again. Her book series is finally out.
Join us.
Every story matters, and the Civic Media Radio Network is celebrating Black History Month by honoring the powerful stories of Wisconsin's own trailblazers.
Looking at the road that was laid before me.
From civil rights to business.
Food and like food trucks is just like a cool atmosphere.
Science to music.
Speaking of which, this is where I spit. Express sentiment, a lot of cats on here.
I'm Terry Barr, inviting you to join us right here for inspiring stories all month long.
Mino and the Mayor.
You know, you're sore when you start working out after you haven't worked. Okay, so no big deal.
Did you stretch before you worked out?
Yeah, big time.
You did not. Yeah, see, that's... Okay, so stretch before and after. And really, your stretch before and after should equal the time you work out.
Okay, hey, Dad.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning, 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 and 96.5 WISS. And the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency continues its controversial examination of the federal government.
ABC News has learned Doge requested access to an IRS data system that retains the personal tax information of millions of Americans. Sources say they have not been granted access yet. Today, Musk is expected to visit the Air Traffic Control Command Center to better understand what the FAA needs to modernize the system.
ABC's Nicole D'Antonio. This morning, the union representing many FAA employees said hundreds have gotten layoff notices. At least 10 people are dead, 9 of them in Kentucky, as a result of powerful storms that moved through the eastern U.S., led to flooding in parts of the region. Right now, more than 300,000 power outages from Massachusetts to Alabama. Secretary of State Marco Rubio is in Saudi Arabia ahead of talks with a Russian delegation with a U.S. goal of bringing an end to the war in Ukraine. This is ABC News. One person was killed, 5 others were